stretch out, yeah, your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin, I've heard all your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking. Under the cover of my skin, I've heard all your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking. Welcome to episode number 135 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another week. We're back, boys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Bradley Croker up in Canberra. How are you going?
Thanks, Brady. It's good to be back in the prime time spot.
It certainly is. And Julian Spence, not down in Ballarat, down in Anglesey at the old second location. How are you going?
Good, yes. Pretty sure the population of our listeners will appreciate us being back.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks to Sticks Brewery. I'm just about to crack a brown ale here, the Crimper. Looking forward to having one of those while we record the show tonight. Who wants to go first, boys? What about you, Bradley? You've had a bit of a dramatic week, picking up a bit of sickness. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an up and down week. Certainly didn't go to plan, but ended up salvaging. Yes, I just did my normal two laps of Mulligans, listening to one of the old Road to Nowhere episodes that I had to catch up on. So that was 14.5K at 4:18s. Then that afternoon, got out for just one lap of Mulligans to 8.5K at 4:17s. Plus, I did my 6 10-second hill sprints. Tuesday morning, same loop at 4:15s. And then session for that afternoon, I went back out to the racetrack called Thoroughbred Park. And the last few times I've trained there, there's been this like gap in the fence where you just sort of, the fences overlap, but there's a gap between them, so you just sort of slide through the middle and you're on. And I was getting close to the gate, and I saw that they'd sort of patched it up. They put this, like, it looked like a ladder, a panel which they then cable tied to the original fence to stop people from going through. And I was just like, oh shit, they obviously caught on to people getting onto the track. And but I, like, there wasn't really anywhere else that I could train. I could have to jump in the car, drive 20 minutes, and it would have been dark. So I ended up just climbing the fence, and I thought, I'll warm up. If I get booted, I'll just go home and maybe do the session on Wednesday. But warmed up, and because it's, you know, it's 4:30 in the afternoon, so there's hardly anybody. Well, there's basically no one there at that time of the day anyway. So warmed up. Felt rubbish. I don't know, if like, just felt really locked up through the hips and the back, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this session, because it was a pretty intense session. So it was three sets of, I do 5 200s with a minute recovery between each 200, and then I go straight into an 800 off the back of those 5 200s, and then I give myself 2.5 minutes between the sets. So, you know, jog 400 to 500 meters in that 2.5 minutes, and then do that three times. So yeah, warmed up, didn't feel great, but then put on the Endorphin Pros, did a few strides, a few activations, and felt good. It was actually a really, really fun session, because I found that running hard for 30 seconds wasn't long enough to get super lactic and get really fatigued, but I could still get that neuromuscular benefit. And then dropping back to even though the 800 was still pretty quick, it was obviously a lot slower than the 200s that I've been running. So it felt like I was running fast, but I was able to do it relaxed. So the 200s were between 30 and 32 seconds. And I think the eights sort of went 2:16 for the first one, 2:13 and 2:11. It's probably a bit of GPS error, but it felt real smooth doing it. And like real smooth in the 800s, and that was largely, I think, because of the quick 200s. So I loved that session.
What surface is that? Is that the grass or the dirt?
So it's crushed gravel.
Yeah.
So just inside the main. It's actually interesting. They've got the main racetrack, which is really thick grass. Like you couldn't do a session on it. It would just you'd go nowhere. Then they've got this crushed gravel next to that, and then inside that they have the trotting track. Yeah. I was on this crushed gravel, but the Endorphin Pros were great on that surface. Like I've used some other shoes there before where I felt like I'd just been slipping a little bit on that surface, but felt great and was really pleased with how the session went, because I haven't done fast 200s for a long time.
If you look at his satellite map, Moose, on Strava, you can see it. And Brad, like, do you program this into your watch and then do it? Like, I see that your GPS is like spot on. Like, he's just already on there and just does that beeping thing.
So I went into Garmin Connect and basically set it up as a workout, just because I didn't want to have to look at my watch all the time. So it's quite a nice way of doing it, where you just relax and just wait to hear the beeps.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's a very good session.
And I think having that 2.5 minutes between the sets as well stops you from getting too fatigued throughout the session. Because really, like, I'm not trying to get super. Like, I'm not trying to build any sort of aerobic fitness from this session. It's more a neuromuscular turnover type session. So by giving myself a good recovery between the sets, it means I never get super fatigued. I could have probably done a couple more sets of it if I had to.
Oh, hang on. I've read it wrong like last week when I was looking at it. You've done 15 200s in 30-32 and, with eight and then three 800s.
Yeah, but if you look at, you're giving yourself a minute between each 200 and then you're giving yourself 2.5 minutes between the sets. So you're recovering pretty well, and there's a big difference between doing 200 meter reps and, say, 300 meter reps. That extra 100 in terms of sort of that lactic you start to accumulate, I don't get that in 200s.
I know that, and they're over pretty quick, but still doing 15 200s in 30-32 is legit. That's a good workout. I was on the track this week, and we were going pretty hard to kind of hit 30-second 200s.
Yeah, like some of them were probably a little bit GPS generous, but obviously the ones that were just dead straight on the home straight were accurate.
Are there markers on the track?
Yeah, there are. Yeah. So, there's mark, but I guess it's for the main. So we're slightly inside the main rail, so it's okay for the straight, but then once you start getting around the bends, it's not as accurate. So then Wednesday morning, got out at 10:30, listened to the Inside Running podcast, so the Nick, Ellie and Joel show, while I got through 26K. It was actually perfect, because I think their episode went for about an hour 45 and I ran for an hour 48, average 4:09s. So it was good to see other people doing our show. I'm sure Moose, have you listened to it, Moose? Not a fan?
I didn't listen to it, so I'll remain a non-fan.
Yeah.
I will listen to it. I would listen to it if you got rid of Nick L.
I'll listen to it, Brad.
He is the problem on the show. He's the one who brings the show down. So if we can replace him, I'll listen to it. That's a deal.
There's interesting. A few mixed reviews, would you say, Brady?
Oh, I'd say 85%, 15% positive, I think. It was good to give him a bit of airtime to the bigger audience. A few people, like Moose's mates, who just, like, they've got this rivalry going, and then they jump on Team Moose just to hate on that show, I reckon.
I don't know
why anyone would complain. Like, we still did our show and put it out everywhere. Like, I think it's...
You can't hate feedback. Feedback's feedback.
I listen to feedback. I listen to it. Mm. I love how you screenshot the one bit of negative feedback and none of the positive stuff. Screenshot that at all and send it through. Anyway,
it's good. People winding me up. They send me that shit.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to somebody else do our concept as well, Brad.
Yeah, it was cool. So Wednesday was actually, and it was good. I had that to sort of take my mind off the run, because the first. Oh, I don't know, first 40 minutes, my right back and hamstring, it's typical stuff that I get, but it was just annoying. I had sort of an hour 45 on the program, and in hindsight, I probably should have just pulled the pin at about 90 minutes. I find there's a real real big difference between that 15 minutes from 90 to an hour 45, especially midweek. But anyway, got through it. Then on Thursday morning, did 60 minutes, listened to the Watto interview that you did, Brady. So that was good, helped me get through that. So that was 14.5K at 4:13s. And then that afternoon, 8.5K at 4:11s. I was sort of having a few issues with my, with my hip and back. Then Friday, I did run Friday morning, did 8.5K. And then I went out to Stromlo that afternoon. And I was going to do either 3 or 4 of the 2.5K loops, which is probably more like 2.43 kilometers or something. I was warming up, and it was actually funny. So I was having this back and hip stuff on the right side, but when I was warming up, it was my left that was giving me grief. So I warmed up and it didn't feel great, but then I got into some flats and did some strides and I couldn't feel it. So I got through the session, but I was just tired. I was starting to get a head cold. Viv was sick earlier in the week, and then she passed it on to me. So I was feeling pretty rubbish. So I decided to pull the pin after 3 reps. So session was 3 by roughly 2.5K off 90 seconds recovery. I think the first rep was like 7:50, then like 7:47. Or 45, and then 7:37 for the last rep. So, sort of progressed down. Then Saturday, my sickness was a little bit worse, and my hip was the hip warms up, so it's more at the start of the run, first sort of 10 minutes. Tonight I did 45 minutes, and it's definitely got better. Like it was today, it was 30 seconds I could feel it for. I just did 45 minutes on Saturday morning at 4:12s. At that point, I just decided I wasn't going to do a second run for Saturday. Wasn't sure how long I was going to go on Sunday, because originally I had 2.5 hours planned. I'd organised to meet Dan Wallace on the Sunday, but then I messaged him Saturday night knowing I was a bit crook, and I said, I'll give Sunday a miss running with people because I'm just not sure what I'll do yet. But I ended up going out at 11 o'clock. And I wasn't so worried about the sickness because it was just a head cold. But I was just like, is my hip going to sort of develop into something more? So I ended up just doing laps around Mulligan, so because it's a 7K loop. So it's like I could stop at any point. And it was annoying for 20 minutes, but it's like a 2 out of 10. Like it's not severe pain, and it doesn't really change the way that I'm running. You're just conscious of it. And I ended up doing 26K. So now 46 at 4:06s. Not the 2.5 hours planned. This week that we're in now was meant to be like a down week of like 120 to 130K. So I just figured, basically just started the easy week from sort of Saturday. So I still got through 162K for the week. It obviously just wasn't the plan, and probably made me realize when I got to about Wednesday that, the last probably 4 to 6 weeks has just sort of caught up with me a little bit, and it's time to just reset, I think, more than anything. Got some treatment tomorrow morning. Just going to see Hisco. I haven't seen Hisco since probably like January, I reckon, February. So, that'll be good to see him and get some treatment on my hip, and I'll just probably jog most of this week. I might do a real light session on Friday or Saturday, and, pick up next week.
I'm going to give you one little bit of a question. I'll ask you a question and we'll see before you can get an answer out of it.
I reckon I've got the same question, Moose.
Oh, maybe. The one thing about your weeks that I'd probably start like looking at as risk versus reward is those Wednesday runs.
That's what I was going to ask.
I agree. And I
that's just put a day between them.
Well, I just think also, and I sort of said before, like there's a big difference between 90 minutes and like an hour 45, like when you're coming off the back of a session. For some reason, I've always had good results doing these, like especially during a marathon block. But then like late last week, I just started to like, I sort of thought to myself, it's like, why am I doing this? It's like realistically, I potentially won't be running a marathon for 8 months. let's assume Melbourne doesn't go ahead and there's no Aussie marathon champs. There's no domestic marathon that really tickles my fancy that would be before Gold Coast next year. And what's the likelihood of me going overseas before, say, March next year for a marathon? It was a bit demoralizing actually thinking about it that way, because it's like, well, you know, what am I training for? Like, there's really nothing. So, I agree. And I think, in 3 weeks, I'll have two kids, and training will probably change a little bit. And actually, one of my questions for you guys was, how many runners out there do you reckon could get the same results off less running per week? Because I think to myself, like, even if you're training for a marathon, if you have the main bits of the puzzle there, so like your big long run, which may include a session, and a big midweek run, so you've got two big days a week. And you look at Watto. Watto probably does this. Watto gets pretty good bang for his buck off the mileage that he does he's running ultras. But do you guys reckon you could get the same running results running less kilometers a week?
Everything well, other than the yeah. marathon. Like, so I've been doing like 140, 150, two sessions in an okay long run, and I reckon I could nearly PB from 5K through to half marathon off that. But I think if I want to run a good marathon, then I've got to go to 160, 180, 190, 200.
But if you change what you're doing in that 150 a week, I would argue that you could probably still get the same marathon result.
Yeah, you just have to chuck a half an hour onto a Sunday and a midweek long run, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have less of your double, like less of those sort of double runs and stuff like that. Mm. But yeah, so obviously things will change for me in 3 weeks' time, and the 170 to 180k weeks, I don't think will happen, and they probably don't need to happen if realistically I'm not going to be running a marathon for who knows 8 months.
No race before second baby, Brad.
No, I won't be in Bendigo on Saturday.
He was toying with the idea, Moose, after that Tuesday session, I reckon. Sent me a message just to ask me for a few more details about it.
I got home and said to Viv, oh, maybe I should go down. And like, Viv was, she was all for it, but then just getting sick at the end of the week, and obviously my hip's not 100%. It's probably the last thing I need to do. Like, I've strung together some really good consistency. I'm almost up to 150 days in a row.
Saw the start list.
And just don't want to risk it.
Another thing with that midweek long run is, like, you've done that workout at 4:30 on the Tuesday night, and then you're banging that long run at like 10 o'clock the next morning. Mm. Like, not a lot of recovery time.
No. But like, one aspect I like about it, especially when I'm training for a marathon, is doing that on tired legs. Yeah. is a good training stimulus, but yeah, I got to Friday or Saturday and I'm like, why the hell am I training like I've got a marathon in 8 weeks?
Well, it's risk versus reward, and there's a lot of risk going on there from my mind anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're just questioning the reward now, and it's like, yeah, there is no race. That's the reward.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the risks aren't really worth it, are they?
No. And so that's why I really is what's the reward of even like pushing through and doing sessions this week? Like, I'm better off just having a down week where I just run 120K, just jog, get my body 100% again, and then put in another decent block. But then just tweak things a little bit, like, go, all right, I don't need to run that far midweek. So, I guess it's good to sort of, change training based on what you're sort of learning about your body as you go.
For sure. Righto, Moose, tell us about your week.
Yeah, my week. I've just been following Brad so closely, I got to change my arms. So my week started on a Monday, as per usual, and I ran, I just got to find it actually, and then we can talk about it. So in the morning, I ran up around the cemetery, got it done. Afternoon, ran with Matty Freeman. Yep, got that done. And then did some strides after my easy run on Tuesday morning. And then on Tuesday, arvo, sort of got out of work a bit earlier because I started early that day and ran the boys. We sort of had a solid group, actually. We had probably about eight of us. I met normally the group will run a warm up before the classic Tuesday arvo workout. So I sort of met them there, and actually no one did the workout except for Mona. He was along, so we had a group. Myself, Watto, Nath was there. Shane Nankervis was there running for the first time in ages, so he slotted right back in with the banter and all. And then Mona was there and we sort of grabbed a few others along the way. So it was a good group. Pretty funny. Got going at the end, got a bit dark. So that was 10 miles next morning. Jogged just out along the Yarrawee Trail. And then that arvo did a workout. So I went to the track, did five sets of 1K, and then had a minute break, then did a harder 400, then had a minute break. So Watto was with me. He did the 1K with me. We took turns leading. Our first one was in 3 minutes, and then took a minute. I did a 66 while he just kept jogging. So he had about 3 minutes rest. I had a minute as well as doing a – I had 2 minutes rest as well as doing a 400 between Ks. So 3 minute, 258, 258, 258, and 253 at the end, and 66, 65, 65, 66, 63. And this was the first time I'd run in the track in ages with somebody else, and gee, it makes a difference to have another bloke, another body around you. So much nicer mentally, like physically. You get to sort of tune out on some of the reps. Someone holds you accountable there, like watching your workout almost. And oh yeah, just it, I mean, 35 minutes on the track, well, it wasn't that much, it was 27 by the looks of it, but it goes so fast. It's so nice to have someone. So thanks to Watto for doing those 1Ks with me.
Did Watto drop a 253 at the end as well?
Yeah, so...
Jeez, he's fit.
He's a real dumbass, you know. Like the last rep, he goes, I'm going to wind it up on this one. And I said, oh, why? Like, just run it normal and then do the last 400 with me. And he's like, considers it, ponders it. He's like, yeah, that makes sense. But it's going to look real stupid on Strava, this workout. It won't make any sense to people. So, no, I'm just going to do this. I'm like, oh, well, I'm certainly not going to let you drop me in this last rep, even if it ruins my workout. So I just stuck on the back of him for that. But, yeah.
Oh, to front up for a 63, though, like off a minute, like you do a 253-minute recovery and then you close in 63. That's good.
Yeah, it was feeling – I mean, this is the best I've felt in a very long time. This is like I came out of this going, all right, we're back on here. We're feeling good again. We're ready to go. So this was the workout that sort of changed how I felt about my fitness.
Endorphin Pro. Are you still doing that?
Endorphin Pro, yeah, Endorphin Pro. And as we always talk about, or I bang on about all the time, doesn't matter what the splits are, it matters how it feels doing them. And that was the important thing during this one. It felt comfortable. Walked off the track feeling like I wasn't spent like the last couple of workouts I've done on the track. So that was the difference here. Maybe having a body in front of you helps a bit. Ran the next day, just jogged in the morning, and then got the Pegasus 37 come through. So got a pair of those on. Had a run in it. Had a run around the lake. Pretty good. I'll talk about those a bit more in the next week when I get a few more Ks in them. But nice start, pretty soft, feel light, a lot softer than a normal Pegasus. And then next morning went for a jog through Canadian bush. I think Bree came with me on the bike for this one. Yep, she did. It was bloody cold, freezing cold, this one. Got a good pic though from the golf course, if you see that
photo shoot. Yeah,
that's run through the golf course, real foggy, sun coming up. Yeah, then I worked out with Ferg. You run with Ferg? Has he been in Echuca running with you before?
Nah, just dolts. No. Up here.
Just dolts, yeah, okay. I was wondering which one of those Muppets it was. So 3x10 minutes, where the rep was broken into 8 minutes at a threshold, 2 minutes hard, with 2 minutes jog between. It was kind of like a shuffle in between. So the 8 minutes, I was having trouble getting my heart rate high enough, because normally, like, I know where my threshold is, but I was hitting heart rate. So like normally it's around 174, 175, but I couldn't really, if I got it up to 172, it would feel really difficult. And I was thinking, this isn't really threshold. So something going on here. Maybe I'm getting old, losing a few beats a minute, but I went to feel. That's how I came through this. So in the end, let me just click into it, see what my splits were. But it's a tough workout because you come off threshold and then you go hard. That's more difficult than just doing threshold, obviously. But I went 313s, 257, 314s, 305s, 313, 257. And it was pretty windy out there, so stayed in the Moose Loop, which is down on that crit track. They cut a new little trail in there, which is good for us. So again, came off that one feeling pretty good. At the end of those 2 minutes, was struggling slightly, but you're supposed to, because the cue is to run hard, not to pace, but just run hard. So that's what I did. That evening, got out for a jog, and then next we went down to Anglesey that night, ran long run down with the Geelong group/Surf Coast group. So we went to Aries Inlet, which is where Ali lives, and we did a pretty hilly long run, to be honest, 575 meters in 30K, and pretty quick. So I think I averaged like 419s over it, which is moving, because these hills were bloody steep. We went up some real steep ones, but good gang. I think there was 10 of us real pushing the limits with that, with that 10 or less. But happy with it, and then jogged that night in Anglesey for the first Sunday night Anglesey run. And yeah, not quite as enjoyable without beers at the end at the Lakeview. So I'm going to have to sort that out. I'm going to have to find a few drinkers, Danny.
A few drinkers. No one joined you down there.
Nah. It's 175K for the week, and yeah, two good workouts. On to the next week.
String them together. You got any races planned? Any time trials or anything?
I do have. I have a 5K time trial. I could tell you when. I do have one. We might be on the same week, maybe. What? So. Excuse me. Shit. That's not good. So, June 13. I'm going to run 5K somewhere. Probably in Ballarat.
Track
for sure.
Legit, yeah. 5K, no Moose Loops, nothing like that.
No. Track. 12. You can't realistically do a time trial without and feel good, feel confident about the end result. You know.
What's he gonna run, Croaks? He's been hitting the track pretty fast. PB could be in danger here.
No, fuck that. I know exactly what I'm gonna run, and it ain't a PB.
I reckon it'll be 14 high 20s, 14:20 something.
Not far off his PB. Archie and I are going to come and do it with you.
Are you?
Yeah, we'll suck you through. I'm sick of you dodging me, so whenever you're doing it, I'm going to come down and bring you with me.
Got a bit of a sore throat actually coming
up. that's not this weekend, next weekend. No, what'd you say? 13th.
I think you're on the 7th now. You do it on the 7th. Change your program.
No, I reckon you're fit. Those 1Kers. You're dropping 253s at the end, and that threshold session's hard when you got to change for those last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know where I'm at.
Pashley got you fit.
I know where I'm at. You know what? On the day, though, I find it hard to get beaten by you ever, so that's what probably going to get me out. Yeah. And Archie, what's he, like 12? Surely I can knock him off.
Yeah, I'll tell you a bit about his training in a second, eh, when I go through my week. Monday, 14K at 4:22s. Didn't get out Monday night. Not sure why. Tuesday, 14K at 4:14s, and then 7.5K at 4:22s. Wednesday, drove over to Shepparton. We had a workout. I don't think I've done this one before, Moose. It was 400, 200 meters jog, 200, 200 meters jog, times 6. Had a bit of a chat the night before this, just clarifying some times, pretty much asking if we could go quicker, because you had us kind of working at 5K pace for the 400s and 3K pace for the 200s. You told us if we're going all right, we could pick it up in the second half. So We went 67-32, and then 68-32, then 67-32. And then we picked it up and went 62-31, 60-30, and 60-30. But Archie ran 58-30 for the last one. I was with him at 200 too, but he just got me around that bend and I was gone. I was just like, nah, I'm not really putting it into fifth gear just to smash this thing out. And then, you know, when someone drops you and then they ease up in the home straight as well, and you're like, ah, you're kidding me. But, yeah, it was a really good workout. It was really controlled early. And then, yeah, it was good. I told him when we turn it up, we've got to turn it up to something we can maintain. Like, I didn't want to just gradually work it down and then having all that sprint in the last one. So we kind of put it on the line halfway through the workout and then got moving. That was a beautiful day over there in Shepparton. Drove home after that. 30 minutes in the afternoon on Wednesday at 4:27 pace. Thursday, recovery day. Fabian, a local guy who used to live here but now he lives in Melbourne. He's a police officer down in Broadmeadows, actually. So I ran with him. He told me some interesting stories about how his job kind of operates and things like that, which was cool. Ran too fast, though. He always runs too fast, Fabian, when he's in town. So we averaged 4:12. Then in the afternoon, 30 minutes at 4:30. And then the second workout of the week was 12-minute threshold, 3-minute jog, 10 by 20 seconds hard with 40 seconds easy, and then another 3-minute jog, and then 10-minute threshold again at the end. Bit cold, a bit like misty, kind of foggy, dark. It was a real depressing kind of morning, actually, Friday morning up here. And we started pretty early. I think we met at 6:30. First 12 minutes actually felt shocking. Like, it was one of those ones that just didn't feel comfortable at all. Perceived effort was pretty high. We kind of hit 3:08s, but it just didn't really come that easy. And then we kind of did that 3 minutes jog and then did that 10 by 20 seconds hard. And like, they almost just felt like strides. And obviously having 40 seconds recovery, you had plenty of time to recover from them. And then the other 3 minutes jog. So by the time we got to the 10 minutes at the end, we rolled and got down to kind of 3:05 pace pretty easy. And yeah, we kind of put the brakes on in the last couple of minutes. So it's just amazing how like a similar pace at the end of the workout can feel much better when you're warmed up. And I think doing those 10-20 second efforts really helped us kind of mid-workout. So yeah, it went from one of those workouts where it was just feeling a bit yuck to, yeah, getting a lot of confidence out of it at the end there. Saturday, I listened to the June edition of Shoe Geeks and did 16K at 4:26. Very, very nerdy, Brad.
Yeah, they love their shoes.
They certainly do. Big dog guests, though, Moose. Big dog guests. Patrons will know about that one soon.
Yeah.
It was actually fun.
Last week, I listened to you guys a lot. You know, there's an interview that you did, Brady, that will be released shortly with Matt, and your interview with Molly, Moose. So, yeah, it was a great week of podcast listening, which hopefully our listeners will enjoy this coming month.
I was cutting some of that stuff together today, and it's like true to Inside Running podcast form that we rather have no interviews banked or we have like 7 just sitting there and like too much content. Last week was a crazy week of recording stuff. I'm the same, Brad. I was like listening to stuff flat out, just trying to hear it all. So that was entertaining. I enjoyed that conversation. Did 8K. Actually, I was in Bendigo on Saturday afternoon. Met up with my mate Crammers. Did 8.5K with him at 4:26 pace, just going along the Bendigo Creek there. And Sunday I was still in Bendigo, and I didn't go with the Bendigo Bats. Hudson woke up a bit later than I was thinking he was going to, and there was another group of guys going at 8 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. From the lake. And so that was like Crammers, Griffo, Epsy, Walshy and Hosko went out in the O'Keefe Rail Trail, kind of where, actually before the marathon kind of starts. And went out to Dunedin, did a U-turn, come back again. That was pretty much like 28K at 4:24s. Just kind of good to sit in the back of a pack and talk a bit of shit with a few fellas. And yeah, that got me 149K for the week. Probably missed 2 or 3 doubles just with dad life and all those kind of things get a bit busy. So probably the difference between hitting 160 and 150. But yeah, 2 good workouts, some good threshold work. It's good to be on the track.
You're fit, that's for sure.
I think Moose has got me in good shape that I've got some speed and I've also got a bit of strength there. But driving home from Shepparton, like Archie and I take separate cars over there, I'm just like, how the hell am I going to beat this guy? Because he can outkick me, and I reckon he's got the strength there as well. But anyway, talk about that next week.
It's about you beating you, Brady. Just go and run a PB.
Virtual run, mate.
It's not a virtual run. He'll win next to me.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got the experience over him. You should be able to mentally fuck him. What do they call it? Mind fuck him.
Just mind fuck a guy that you've been mentoring for the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, as soon as the gun goes, it's all every man for himself.
Yeah, yep. So I'll see what I'm talking about next week when I give you a bit of a recount of that, if it actually happens. Let's not talk about some run news yet. Let's thank some Patreon supporters. Bradley, kick us off.
All right. My first shout out is to Marcus Johansson from Sweden. I believe he lives in Göteborg. Hopefully I pronounced that right, Marcus. His marathon PB is 2:40:15. He's run 78:55 for the half, and he's run 35:19 for 10K. Never raced anything shorter. He's working on getting a PhD, maybe brewed his own beer, and was due to run Boston before Corona. He's been listening for a while and decided to sign up to show his support. So an interesting fact, there's a very famous soccer player with the same name. So thanks for your support, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus. I was talking to Marcus today, actually getting some of those facts because it's hard to find any info on him. Moose, who you got?
Rowan Miller, Runaway Bay, Queensland. That's in the Surfers Paradise region, I think. 20:33, 5K, 47:33, 10, 1:44 half, 3:28 at the 2017 Gold Coast Marathon. Maybe has two kids. Seems to enjoy the trails up there. I think there are some trails in like the hinterland of the Gold Coast. Certainly not any in Runaway Bay. That's like the most concrete place in the world. I remember staying there. I fucking hated it there.
You're whinging about it. Never that bad.
Yeah, there's Coomber Bar, I think it's called. Coomber Bar. There's some trails there.
That's that wetlands area.
Yeah.
Shelly trains.
Yeah, I ran in there, but that's still not great. Like, those. I think the hills, like when you're driving along the surface, that highway, I forget what it's called, but you look to the left, there's heaps of hills out there. Surely there's good trails in there.
Yeah, there's Mount Tambourine's up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and he once got a selfie with Lucy Bartholomew. And he bangs out a few park runs at Paradise Point, the Gold Coast half marathon turnaround. Yeah, I got you. I know where you're at, Rowan.
Got that. You were having a shocker through there last time you raced up there, Moose.
Oh, thanks, mate.
No worries, Will. Always got to remind you when you have a bad one. You don't have that many bad ones that often, so you just got to sink the boot in when you can around here. I want to thank Kieran Connolly from Tralee in County Kerry in Ireland. Had a look at his profile picture today on Strava, and he's not the kind of bloke you want to get in a street fight with. Real good beard. Lost a bit of weight, actually. Saw a couple of photos where he trimmed down a bit. Used to be a bit of a burly fella who would dominate in a few bar fights over there after a few pints of Guinness, I reckon. Strava best times, Kieran, so not 100% sure if these are accurate. 21:09, 43:59 for 10K, and 1:41 for the half marathon. Thanks for finding value in our podcast all the way on the other side of the world. And thanks to all those people for their Patreon support. And also a shout out for Peter, Daniel and Paul, who the other guys thanked last week. I'd just also like to say thank you on behalf of us for supporting us on Patreon. Rightio, boys, bit of running news to talk about this week. First one, Brad, Morgan McDonald.
Yeah, so former guest of the show, Morgan McDonald, has signed on with a new coach. So he's going to be moving to Boulder. I'm assuming he's going to move to Boulder. Seems though his new coach is Joe Bosshard. Joe's also Emma Coburn's husband. So, and those that listened to the Melissa Duncan part two will know that, Liz was over there doing some training with them before Corona as well. So, that's exciting for Morgan. And, looking forward to seeing, what he does once people start racing again. I'm guessing he's kept himself in good shape.
Yeah, I saw a photo of, I think Emma Coburn put up yesterday of like this full, like great looking people, big photos, like 12 of them, all beautiful looking people. And then there was Morgan on the end. And I was like, oh, you found yourself.
It's mainly been a female squad, hasn't it?
That's exactly what Moose is talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I know. I wonder if he coaches any other guys. Do you reckon he does?
We had this conversation on the long run. One of the boys in that long run pack used to live in Boulder, and he said the same thing. Like it's a good training group for a male to be joining. He made the comments about, and but then he questioned if he'll actually have anyone to train with.
Mm. And I wonder whether do they have a are they signed up because they're New Balance, aren't they? Like Emma Coburn.
She's definitely New Balance, yeah.
Yeah, so does that mean, and because I'm pretty sure their whole squad's like New Balance, does that mean Morgan's going to move to New Balance as well or stay with Under Armour?
I thought that one of their athletes, let me just look quickly.
Alicia Prout, she runs for Jamaica, doesn't she? Will Lear's wife, is she New Balance? Remember she won the gold at Games? Or Dom Scott?
Dom Scott was Adidas, but maybe I'm wrong there too. Yeah, she is. Dom Scott's Adidas, so it's definitely not a New Balance group. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So it's, obviously a...
good to see we've checked all the facts before commenting.
You got to tell me that we're going to do these stories and then I'll look for it.
This note was here 24 hours ago. You could have clearly read it if you wanted to.
Well, I think the main thing to take from this is that he has a new coach, not a new sponsor.
And name to watch, because obviously he would have had 2020 Olympics kind of pinned in, wouldn't he? Like we would have expected him to maybe make a team.
Yeah, he's still on the up for sure, Morgan. Like he's got, another five to 10 years of good running in him. So it's going to be exciting.
For sure.
5 years? The bloke's what, like 23?
I said 5 to 10.
Yeah.
So you add 5 on to 23, it's 28. So that's starting to get,
28?
Well, depending on what event he's targeting. As a 5K,
I'm 42 years old.
As a 5K runner, 28's, probably.
We peak when we're 39.
5K.
Not you, but most of us do.
I reckon you're in 5K PB shape as well, Brad.
Maybe.
You're peaking. You'll be happy with this one, Brad. Boston Marathon's gone to a virtual race instead of their normal stuff. So the 2020 Boston Marathon is cancelled. They did postpone it, and now they've fully cancelled it. So it's another victim to the coronavirus pandemic. We're expecting all these ones to go, aren't we, in the second half of the year? London, Rotterdam, Berlin's already gone. New York will go. Yeah.
I even reckon things next year. Like, we have it under control here, but there's so many countries where it's almost just starting. Like I read today that India have another 8,000 new cases today and Peru have another 8,000 new cases. And it's like countries aren't going to open up borders. And, I just think international events are just so far away, which is a shame. Anyway.
Yeah, mass participation marathons are going to be one of the last things to go back, I think. But something that is going back, Moose, tell us about this Morrie Plant Memorial Race. See this? Team Ingebrigtsen, our mates?
Yeah, I did see Team Ingebrigtsen versus Team Cheruiyot, the Morrie Plant Memorial Race Impossible Games Bislett, June 11. The Bislett Alliance wants to pay tribute to the legendary Morrie Plant, who passed away in January this year, with the Morrie Plant Memorial Race over 2,000 metres. In 2020, due to COVID-19, it's not possible to have international participation from around the world like we're used to, but with some creativity, we've managed to create a unique match between Team Ingebrigtsen and Team Cheruiyot through international cooperation involving both Athletics Kenya Omega and our host broadcaster, NRK. Meet director Steinar Hohen says this will be the first virtual race at such level in the history of athletics. Team Ingebrigtsen runs at Bislett, while Team Cheruiyot will run in Nairobi. The race will be shown on international TV as a split-screen competition. This is pretty cool. Like, this is the first I'm reading this. This is cool.
Yeah, I can tell. That's why you haven't stopped reading. So you might have pre-read this bit and then maybe come up with a summary. Both teams will start with 5 runners and will have to finish with 3. The winner of the match will be the team with the best overall time for 3 runners. But, of course, the individual times will count as well. Steve Cram is to commentate the Impossible Games in English. Cram is a European record holder. We know all about Steve Cram. And because this is named after Morrie Plant, it says Morrie loved middle distance running and he loved Bislett, but he also loved non-traditional arrangements of events. In his early years serving the Athletic family, he was the mastermind behind countless matches between countries around the world. Our idea is to honour him with such an event, which is completely in line with everything he loved, Hohen says.
Mm.
This was kind of interesting. The first thing I thought when this popped up was, where's the Australian connection? Like, can we get an Australian on one of those teams? Like, obviously, Stewie's the name that jumps out at everyone straight away. Over 2K, he'd be able to do some absolute damage. But I guess when it's you're in rather Europe or Kenya, it's hard to then bring in a third location with live TV and stuff like that. And the second thing I thought was, like, the Ingebrigtsens are killing this COVID stuff. Like, they are everywhere in the running world at the moment. Like, they are just making sure they're involved in anything they can possibly get their hands on.
Yeah, the thing that stood out for me was that it's a bit like pro running in that there's a bit of a handicap for the Kenyan team having to do it at altitude.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think Nairobi, I looked it up today, it's like 1,700 or 1,800 metres above sea level. So it's like, it's got to make a difference over 2K for sure. So there's a bit of a handicap there for the Kenyan team.
Moose, any other comments?
Hopefully we can get some footage of it. Like, international TV, what is that? What's international TV?
Hopefully just a live stream on YouTube would be good.
Yeah, that's what I hope too.
Produced by a TV company.
Hopefully it's at a watchable hour as well. That'd be great for the
No reason like MTC plus a couple of other athletes that aren't in MTC could just go and do it at a track. That would be pretty cool anyway. Live stream that and see how their times compare to the Ingebrigtsen or the Chariot teams.
Not a bad idea, Brad.
Mm.
Bendigo Bats could have a go as well, see how we stack up.
I think Archie might beat you there.
Yeah, over 2K, I'd back him for sure. That was good. Listener question, Bradley.
All right, this week's listener question comes in from Mike Gotch. He says, there are two running performances in Australia that I would like to throw out there into the inside running ether. Interested to what you think. Moner's lap around Lake Wendouree, 16:10 for 6K. Or Mottram's lap of the Tan, 10:08 for 3.872 kilometres. So Moner's equates to around 13:25 5K time. Mottram's is 13:16 5K. Obviously the Tan's shorter but has Anderson Street Hill. Lake Wendouree is flat. Boys, flattish. Which is the better run?
Well, that course has changed, hasn't it, Moose? Like, and isn't the rule at Lap of the Lake that you can run anywhere between the water and the road? So every year the course kind of can change depending on what track you want to take?
It's up to you. You've just got to get around the actual body of water as quick as you can. And so there is a track and it's been changed to put in some rowing starts and there's a bit of a lump in there now. So it's not dead flat, but there's a few little rises. But there's also falls, just like at the Tan, there's also the long fall down the back. But it's a little less than 6K, and I think it was a little less than 6K back when Moner ran it as well. But that's not the point. Like, the point was that he actually went through in 8 minutes, 3K in 8 minutes there that day. I remember him saying that. And it was set up for him. His old man got out, swept the so you know where there's a spot near the like where you go off the track where you run through the park
playground,
the grass playground, and in front of the cafe that was all swept out and looked after for him. He writes that in his book actually. So yeah, that's look, I'm biased, I'm going to call it Moner's because no one's even got close to that since. No, not even close. 16:10, I think the next fastest is like maybe like 16:40, something like that. So I don't know, it's hard to do. You can never do this is kind of impossible, but
you never hear about anyone like potentially trying to break that one either, Moners. Whereas Joel was on the show last week saying how Stewie's going to have a crack at Mottram's in a couple of weeks with Jack and Brett pacing him. Did you hear that, Brad?
I did.
That'd be very interesting.
I should.
You have to think it's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, especially for those guys. Like, they're two quality guys, and they'll be able to get him a long way through.
So they're not going to finish?
Oh, this is just Joel talking. Like, I don't know. But that was the way it was kind of getting spun, I thought.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? What's your call? I'm saying mono.
I'm going to say mono.
Well, I've never run a lap of the lake at Ballarat, so I've got no idea. I've got nothing to compare it to. I've run a lap of the Tan, but I haven't run in Ballarat.
More traffic on the Tan when they're Moose.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He was, I think this was racing against the Richmond Footy Club. Didn't he spot him like 3 minutes?
Yeah. Pulled him all in.
Yeah. So he had rabbits along the way that he had to pass, but they also gave him a bit of a target. And I mean, it's the Tan. It's busy at every hour of the morning, the night, everything. So you can imagine that he was getting it obstructed even slightly, but then, I don't know, the lake gets windy. Not sure what it was like that day, but definitely windy around the lake and longer.
There we go. We had a conversation about it. Not sure if we answered the question at all there, Mick, but I think we're all going with Ballarat Tata. Moose on the loose.
So back in like 2012, 2011 even, there was like this brigade of like cult followers that started running without shoes on after reading a particularly notorious book, and they were the barefoot runners, and they were cultish in their behavior. Like, what's the definition of a cult? Basically like blind following without any real science or any real listening to other people's arguments, that kind of thing, trying to brainwash other people. That's what we'll call a cult. Sensationalism in their in the way that they talked and their arguments. And then they came and went because it wasn't a very sustainable activity, barefoot running. And the shoe companies, like, they were all quick to sort of take advantage of it early. Then they realized very shortly that this isn't a very successful enterprise, making shoes for people that aren't used to wearing no shoes. So they nearly all of the companies stopped making them. There's a couple left now, but they're very small and they don't really exist anymore. But there's still a few of these fellas left and ladies kicking around out here. And all of a sudden, sometimes they pop their head out of these holes and you get a good glimpse of into what crazy looks like. And I saw recently there's been a couple pop along, and one of them stirred up probably the most researched and knowledgeable man about footwear, running, and podiatry in the country, Michael Nitta-Nishke. And he can't help himself, Nitta. When he sees something talking absolute garbage, he has to get in there, and it's he gets in trouble from his wife about it, which is quite funny. But he had this argument on Facebook, and he's like, basically the premise of the argument behind the barefoot is it's natural. This is what the body was supposed to do. But can you name for me, in the last 10,000 elite runners that you've ever seen run, who wears no shoes when they run?
When they race or?
So who trains either without footwear or in barefoot shoes?
Nick Earl.
Nick Earl, yeah.
No, he doesn't. He still wears shoes.
No, he does barefoot, yeah. He does some barefoot sessions.
PB's does a couple of barefoot runs, right? But he still puts on shoes, right?
Not for all. Yeah, like, but he does do some sessions bare feet.
Okay, one.
Actually, I think I saw Molly Seidel. What's her name?
Seidel?
I'm pretty sure she put on Strava that she was doing some barefoot stuff the other day.
There's a difference between running in minimalist footwear all time as a philosophy and doing some barefoot stuff. There's a massive difference.
Yeah, she was just on a beach, I think, on her Strava title.
Come on, mate. You're trying to wind me up.
Anyway, so, we can't think of any. You made your point.
I've made my point. And so why do people, like... It comes from different communities, like CrossFit communities big on it, I get really frustrated because people come in from outside the running community and try to tell runners what to do. Like, oh, I do CrossFit and you run? Oh, you should do this. you know those shoes aren't good for you. You know they're unnatural. You know they've got a heel wedge in them. Oh, they're too stiff for the foot, and you need to be flexible, and you need to have no cushion because it ruins your knees. And I'm like, hey, just back the fuck up. Let runners do runners. You do CrossFit or whatever it is you're into. I don't know what it is, but stay in your field and let runners wear shoes, because they know what? If you want to run proper mileage and get better at running, you've got to have cushion under your foot. I don't like this is I'm trying I've already been have, triggered about this
have the last you had have you had some CrossFitters say this to you, Moose?
I've been involved in a few social media debates, we'll call them, recently, and then you look into sort of the background of the people that are involved, and you're like, oh, you don't even run, what the fuck, why am I even wasting my time with this? Look, this
aren't CrossFitters a physio's dream?
Yeah, well, they are, and they're their own dream, they're their own wet dream.
Let's move on. What's coming up? We've got heaps of content. Brad was talking about that before coming up. We're reviewing the Endorphin Pro next week. I think that is about Big Friends of the Show episode coming up as well. I'm going to record that this week. What's happening in your life, Bradley, much?
No, I have a lighter week of training, a bit of treatment, back to school on Wednesday. That's about it, really. Watch the Raiders win again, hopefully. So, did you end up putting any money on it?
Yeah, I had a multi on. That was the last leg. The Raiders had to get up. So, yeah, I've nearly made enough though and buy a pair of gloves off Moose. I think I got $60 back from 10. Did it right?
Yeah. So, funny story. We made a joke about $15 gloves, right, on the podcast. But not everyone that handles the social media of our store listens to the podcast. And so when we put a post up about gloves and everyone's writing in, are these things $15?
I didn't even see those comments.
Yeah. Fucking confusing. No, they weren't, because they were sending them directly to our store handle. And the person operating the social media was like, why does everyone think these are $15? It clearly says how much they are.
I love that stuff. That's gold. So they're still 70? Haven't marked them down?
Sold out of them, mate.
Sold out of them. Anyway, starting to get cold up here. Moose, what have you got coming up in your life?
I'm back to work tomorrow. I'm going to do a workout in Geelong, then head back. I've got a bit going on this week, changing over all the bloody systems, online systems and that for the store. So stressful times.
Doesn't it just sound like the best life, Brad? Like just wake up, look at the beach, go to a workout in Geelong, drive back to Ballarat.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
It sounds like, does it?
What did you buy this week, Moose? What was the what was the present that you bought yourself?
Oh, look, I tried to buy gym equipment, but there's nowhere in the country that has any gym equipment left. I was going to buy, like, I don't know, ab sit-up machines. What do they call them? The ab roller. No. I was trying to find proper, like, dumbbells and kettlebells and medicine balls, but... There is like a national shortage for that kind of stuff. Maybe it's global, because everyone, once they realized that the gyms were shutting, they just loaded up and made home gyms, and you can't find a single thing. Like you go into Kmart, Rebel Sport, Sports Power, you go online, all the like secondhand or the refurbished stuff, all totally sold out and not getting anything back until August, yeah.
I see you've been making Brie use the massage gun on your feet, Moose. Just kick them back.
Yeah, well, there's pros for both of us.
I'm going to bring in Matt Whitbread, boys. We're going to have a conversation with him about all things world cross country, a couple of Athletics New South Wales things, a bit of Athletics Australia stuff. Bradley, you ready?
Yep.
Hey, Matt, can you hear us all good?
Yeah. The three baddest street fighters in the distance runners.
One can street fight.
Don't know about that. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks for having me, boys. Good to chat to you again. I think last time was in the lead up to Albie Thomas last year, which feels like an awfully long time ago now.
That was correct. The world's changed a bit since then as well. Let me get this title correct now. President and Chairman of the Board of Athletics New South Wales, and separately, the Director on the Board of Directors of the Local Organising Committee for Bathurst 2021.
makes it sound awfully more impressive than it is, boys.
It's pretty good, isn't it, mate?
Hear that?
Hey, we saw the video last week. That was the first thing that popped up. 300 days to go into a world cross country. Pretty impressive video. I actually think I got some goosebumps watching that, to be honest.
The hype up package. Yeah, yeah. I think it's one of the things we're keen on is promoting the purity of cross country. You know, there's any number of factors that go into track running or marathon running and, you know, all the other aspects of track and field. But cross country really is one of the more brutal and pure events in the sport. So fire the gun and work out how tough you are. Real blue collar event, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Bradley,
tough course, Matt.
Yeah, that was one of the things I found quite funny. When we first released the video before that, which was a sort of flyover of the course, there was a lot of comments coming back saying, oh, geez, really boring, really flat course. I can promise you it's not. I've been out at Bathurst, had a look at it. I reckon James Kahn and those guys have walked or run around it probably 100 times by now. There's some guys involved in this that really know what they're doing. And we're obviously coming off the back of Aarhus, Denmark, which I think it's fair to say really took the event to a new level. And that was a brutally tough course. I mean, you look at some of the winning times from that event. I think it was, 36, just over 36 and change for the women and 31, almost 32 minutes for the men. So, you know, these are like Chepter guy. What would his PB be for 10,000? Probably 26 high, yeah. Something like that. So, you know, if he's 5 minutes behind his PB, probably gives you a good indicator of how tough that course was, and we're certainly not looking to make ours any easier. So I can understand how people would think that with the flyover, but trust me, once you get out there, you know, it's Mount Panorama, it's a mountain, albeit by Australian standards, but it will not be an easy course, I can promise you that.
And what's exciting is that the average punter will have the opportunity throughout the weekend to have a run on the course. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the things that Aarhus did well as well is really bring the event to the people. And for the first time, certainly to my knowledge, really allowed the recreational runners of Europe to come in and have a run on the course in different events over the course of the weekend, and we're really looking to take that to the next level. I mean, I know you guys have had a little peek behind the curtain at some of the things we're planning, and I think it's fair to say we can pull that off, then everyone in Australia who wants to have a run on this course and experience what a world championship is like will have the opportunity to do that at some point over the weekend. And I think that's one of the great things about our sport generally, not only in terms of the events themselves, but also the access to the athletes, just the accessibility of the sport. I mean, you can't go to Old Trafford and have a kick around with the Manchester United guys, but you will be able to come to Bathurst, run on the World Championship course, and I would guarantee you over the course of the weekend meet some of the best athletes in the world. And we'll get into that in a minute about some of the things we're planning, but it really will be a celebration of running.
And Matt, for a lot of our listeners, they might not be familiar with World Cross Country, but to put it into, I guess, significant terms, it's been 25 years since Australia's hosted like a World Athletic Series kind of event. The last one we had here was the World Junior Championships.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm hoping that everyone's familiar with World Cross Country after your very good expose of the exploits of Benita Willis over the last few weeks. So that was certainly an initiative of the greatest distance running performance that kept me with something to be interested in over the last month. So well done to all the guys that put that together. But yeah, I mean, I think the significance as well, Brady, is that the World Junior Championships in 1996, in the lead up to the Sydney Olympics, which hold a special place in my heart for a number of reasons, but that was also a junior championship. This is the first ever senior world title that we've ever had in Australia. And you know, that's a point of significance, and I don't think you'll have any trouble getting out of Athletics Australia the very clear motivation that this is potentially a building block to more world titles in the future, and not necessarily just limited to cross country. So it's a it's an opportunity for us to showcase Australia to the world. It's an opportunity for us to showcase Australian running to the world. And I think, yeah, we're in a position, obviously it's been made a little bit more difficult by recent events, but equally that means that if we're able to pull this off how we'd like to, it should be a pretty positive story about what we can do down here.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the ideas, initiatives. I'm not sure how much you can say tonight, but kind of working on that festival of distance running from the Friday through to the Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're more than happy on the organising committee to sort of pull back the curtain a bit and give everyone an insight into some of the things we're thinking about and working on. Hopefully people understand that some of those are still work in progress, so don't hold me to every single detail, but
yeah.
Equally, none of these are, you know, cabinet in confidence state secrets. So, yeah, it's certainly not super confidential to the extent that we can't tell our running community about it, because I think, you know, one of the fair criticisms that's been made in the past of the administrative bodies that govern our sport, and I know Moose was referring to this last week, was that we haven't reached out as well as we should have to the broader recreational running community. It at many times has been perceived to be an elitist sport, you know, for the traditionalists, and that's something that we're very keen to change going forward. And this is a wonderful opportunity for us to capitalise on the running boom that's happened in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, but especially the last few months with everything that's been going on. So, yeah, let's go through it. There's it's planned to go from the Friday to the Sunday. There's something for everyone. And Brady and I gave you some notes over the weekend. Maybe we just work through those.
Got them in front of me, mate. So like a school event, bit of a clubs challenge, a para race, an ultra race, Sunday little athletics, masters and open races, and then a golden ticket race before the big show starts up on the Sunday, the big race, the World Cross Country Champs.
Yeah, so it might, we might hang on to that one, because I think that's a really cool initiative that a lot of the guys be frothing over, if you like.
Moose is very excited about this golden ticket race.
Moose wouldn't have even read this yet. Explain it to him, Matt.
I haven't read it.
Why don't we hold that? Because I've got a weekend planned for Moose. I reckon there's a race for Moose every day of the 3 days. So let's why don't we work our way through it in day order? But I'm going to hold the golden ticket race because I think that's cool. We're going to give the people something to hang around for. Yeah. So
maybe kick us off then. So what's planned for Friday?
So yeah, for anyone that has been through primary school and high school, I assume at some point you'd have done a school cross country, and that's something we're really looking to capitalise on. And it's one of the great things about having this event is that it should be relatable to anyone who's done a school cross country. And so we're working with the relevant school bodies at the moment to put together what will essentially be an all schools style cross country challenge for the schools. And that'll obviously be on the Friday because that's a school day and all the kids can celebrate getting a day off school to jump on the bus out to Bathurst and come up and have a run on a world championship course, and then, you know, certainly hopefully hang around for the weekend and watch some of the best in the world on the Saturday. So there's no real magic to that. It's going to be a school's cross country. I should say none of this is limited to New South Wales. So open to school kids from all around the country. And, you know, bring your families up, and there's plenty of events for mum and dad happening over the course of the weekend as well.
And also on Friday is that golden ticket race, which I guess we can talk about that one a bit later. So then brings us to Saturday.
Yeah, so Saturday is obviously main event day. The World Championship will be on in the afternoon from around about 2 to 5. So it may be that some of your listeners don't actually know the format of a World Cross Championship. So there's the junior races, under 20, for both men and women, and that's 6K. And there's the open senior races, men and women, which are both 10K. And there's also a relay now, which is one of the more recent additions, but really cool because it gives you an opportunity, obviously, to have some more people on the team that haven't qualified for the Open or the Open Senior races. And you know, the relay format, as we know, as all of you guys would know from running down in Victoria, and certainly the relays here in New South Wales, those cross country relays are some of the most popular events in the sport. So to see that at global level is really something to behold. But in the morning, we're looking at an Australian-wide clubs challenge. So this is probably comparable in a way to the club aspect that does sit within the Australian Cross Country Championships. But I think the reality is when you hold that within a national title, it loses some relevance because obviously the focus is on the national titles. This will be absolutely intended to foster the tribalism amongst the Aussie distance running clubs. And, you know, saying to you the other day, boys, that the Bendigo Bats might be able to get a team up there, get the checkbook out like Bankstown will, and get some people up to Bathurst. And if we're able to do that, then that could really be a gauntlet to be thrown down and see who really is the best distance running club going around in Australia. So you boys would be able to line up a few for that, I'd imagine.
Do you have to be like a registered club, or could we put like an inside running podcast team in there?
Yeah, well, I think we might have to lean on my influence, dare I say it, for that. But it's something that we chatted about the other day, Brady. I reckon if we do teams of four, it may well be that there's an inside running podcast team of three on the Saturday. And I don't know, you can auction off the fourth spot or have a competition for it, or I don't know, maybe just get Watto in to annoy Moose all the way around.
Doing Collis be fit by them, Moose?
Yeah, this is he'll be on the team, though.
Oh. You could have a street fight between Watto and Nick Earl for the fourth spot.
There could be some fighting there. We could do the Australian Distance Running MMA Championship.
That would be fun, though. It would be fun to have a inside running podcast team.
Hey, Matt,
get the Steigen singlets out.
Do we know 2K. A loop yet? 2K,
yeah,
okay.
So 5x2K. Thereabouts, you know, obviously some tinkering around that with the start and the finish, but yeah, thereabouts 5x2.
Yeah, cool. That'd be good. Good viewing then.
So that'll also put a lot more significance on the state cross country titles this year, because I think we'll be looking at, and we're still working through this with the various state CEOs and presidents, but we're looking at a qualification pathway through the state cross country titles, assuming we can get them up and running sooner rather than later.
So you don't think you'll be able to get a world cross trials together in time?
Oh no, we're definitely planning a world cross trials, but in terms of just this club challenge,
aspect, club one, yeah.
Obviously don't want to have to drag people from Perth to Bathurst to qualify. So the intention is to allow people to qualify through the state titles and earn their way to represent their club on the big dance. And,
this isn't good for Division 2 teams, though, I reckon, down here in Victoria.
Reckon the Bats might be in trouble.
If we can't qualify for our state Division 1, I don't know if we're qualifying for this club challenge at the World Cross Country.
Well, we might have to put in a word for the inside running.
That's the only way I'm getting a run, I think. Anyway, sorry to take it off the track there. So that's not the golden ticket thing, though, is it?
No. So this is on the Saturday morning, and this leads into the para race, which we'll talk about in a second, and the world title after that. So it's a super Saturday of clubs race in the morning, para race in the middle of the day, and then the world title in the afternoon.
Beautiful. And then this ultra race as well?
Yeah, so that'll be going on the Saturday afternoon. And this is a really good example of how we're looking to appeal and cater for parts of the running community, which I don't think it's unfair to say have not been reached out to as well as they should have been historically. So obviously ultra running has just become this massive, massive area of the sport. I went out to UTA at the Blue Mountains last year for the first time, just could not believe the number of people out there and how impressive some of the performances are. So we wanted to definitely capture something for that community. And obviously being at Mount Panorama, for those that, you know, have watched the car race, it's a pretty steep mountain and there's a lot of bushland up the top there that we'll be able to create a trail through, as well as part of the world title course itself. So we're looking at the moment, and this is one of those things of don't hold me to the exact details, but at the moment we're looking at a format of a 1 hour, a 2 hour, and a 3 hour race. So one of those how far can you run in X hours concepts. So a little bit different to the usual, you know, 40K, 50K, 100K, whatever it is.
Yeah. You'd smash that, Brad, just like a Sunday long run.
Yeah, maybe. Is it, a few hills. It's at night, is it?
No, it'd be like, in the afternoon. That day,
oh,
afternoon,
okay. Yeah.
End of the sun. Yeah.
Not real good with the head torch, so I need it in daylight hours.
Maybe you and Josh Johnson can have it as your Saturday Arvo long run.
maybe. And then Sunday there's what, Little Athletics, Masters and Open races as well.
Just before we go to that, I might just go back to the para race because that's one of the things I'm actually probably most excited about. I know previous guest of your show, Jared Clifford, and a lot of people know Jared's story about his participation in the Para World Championships, and of course he is a world champion. And we've got to give Jared a lot of the credit for this because he's the one that really first called out on social media a few months ago the concept of having a para race as part of the World Cross Country. And that gathered a lot of support, as it rightly should have. Guys like Michael Roger and other athletes got behind it, which I think just shows the level of support that para running has in Australia, which is wonderful. And so this is one of the really potentially great legacy pieces that we have associated with those championships. The reality is that we won't have a sanctioned para world championship as part of this event, but what we are intending to do is have as close as possible to that style of event, and we've deliberately placed it in the program immediately before the main event world title races to really signify the significance that that we've placed on that. So Jared's committed to running that. He's going to whip up the support and really encourage the rest of the athletics community to get behind that. The Jared, not one for small ambitions. He's got the goal of having the largest ever dedicated para athletics event in history. So he's gone and pulled all the numbers from the London Marathon and various other events, and he's reaching for the stars. So we'll have more details around that in due course, and I'd probably suggest having a chat to Jared at some point to get an update on that, because he's done a great job there.
Mm. Yeah, pretty good initiative there. So now this golden ticket one, I reckon this is going to be the probably the most innovative thing and get the most people talking out of the whole weekend, I guess.
Yeah, so this is really cool. I must say I've got to give a massive amount of credit to World Athletics for actually letting us do this, because as you say, Brady, I think it's going to get a lot of traction. So on the Friday afternoon, we're going to have, at this stage, the plan is for a 6K race for both men and women, separate races. And the theory behind this is that the top so many athletes, let's call it five for the sake of this conversation, will, in each of the men's and the women's race, and this is both open and under-20s, will earn themselves a start in the sanctioned world title races on the Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
So as I said in the notes, if you, for example, were a blue collar 2:14 marathoner who maybe didn't rate yourself to beat Stewie in the selection trial, but nonetheless wanted to line up against him on Saturday, all you've got to do is come out Friday Arvo, run top five, and then back up again on Saturday Arvo in a world title.
You reckon you'll get Africans come over and take that?
No. Well, I mean,
there's no money in it.
There's
no,
a challenge,
but
for you.
This is like a bloke coming up, has a shit one at his trials, or for some reasons there's like a political issue, as we know that happens, where the federation doesn't pick him or her, and they're like, well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to go over there, get that ticket, and go race this race. And so they won't run for their country, will they? They'll run for themselves as an individual?
Yeah, so they won't be formally representing a nation. And, you know, I think we're operating off the assumption here that nobody who wins the golden ticket is going to be winning the world title.
That would be a bloody good story, though.
That's the Hollywood story. We want it.
I tell you what, I must confess, we haven't thought that through. What would happen if someone actually won the race? I think we might have to trip them over with the category.
And Matt, were you guys assuming that it'd be five Australians, like five men and five women from Australia, to kind of then slot into the World Championships?
Well, I think at this stage it's open, but you know, this sort of, as I said at the start, the trade-off here for getting a peek behind the curtain of what we're planning is that I'm not going to have every specific answer for you. So, if the seventh place Kenyan athlete decides that he wants to fly himself over here and get himself a start, well, that's something we're going to have to think about. It maybe we reserve it for Aussies, but I think it's in all seriousness, it's a really exciting initiative, and I think World Athletics deserve a lot of credit for letting us do it. And remember, this won't just be the senior men and women, it'll also be the under 20s. So five from each, 20 athletes in total is the planning at the moment. Real great opportunity for some Cinderella stories.
Yeah, yeah, trials go wrong for some people and then they get it right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all interesting. It's all exciting, and I think there's a lot of listeners who would have listened to the last kind of 10, 15 minutes and, you know, their ears would have pricked at something, like something appeals to them that they can get involved in and also see some, you know, this is like top-notch, world-class, hardest race in the world. You got six representatives from each country as well. Like, there's some people here that you would just not get the opportunity to see race in an event like this if it wasn't coming to Australia.
Yeah, absolutely right. And as we all know, there's something very different about seeing it in person to seeing it on TV. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I love about running is that in a lot of sports, you don't really get a comparison of just how good these guys are. And I think particularly team sports and ball sports, where when everyone plays at an elite level, a lot of the times they sort of cancel each other out, and it's only when you really see them against B graders that you get a real idea of just how good they are. With running, you know, everyone over the course of this weekend is going to have an opportunity to run on the World Championship course and get a time to compare against the best in the world, and you're going to get a direct point of comparison and a real, you know, appreciation for just how brilliantly talented these athletes are.
Yeah, for sure, especially if you've run on the course and know how much it hurts, and then you see them going up there at 250 pace the next day. It's a pretty good insight. Hey Matt, I got a few quick fire ones for you, not sure if you can answer them or not, but last week we were talking about the Australian Marathon Championships, obviously with gold.
Can I just do the, because we didn't do the Sunday.
Missed a whole day here, mate. Yeah, go for it.
Because this is actually the chance for everyone to run. So I should say anyone can enter the golden ticket race, but if you're worried about Moose lapping you in a 6K three-lap race, there's also going
to
be...
It's talking to you, Brady.
Is it only 6K, the golden ticket race? It's not 10.
Yeah, that's the planning at the moment. Well, we thought that Moose might not want to, you know, have to bury himself 10K on the Friday and then back up for the world title 10K on the Saturday. Okay. So
yeah, I like that. You know, I'm quicker than both these boys over 5-6K as well, Matt. This suits me down to a T.
Not cross-country, you're not.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at cross-country.
Oh, yeah, with all those hills in the Chuka.
It's pretty flat course, Matt. Keep the 6K away from the hills, can you?
It's no Echuca Industrialist.
So give me some tight bends and I'll be good at it. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, Moose might go over if there's a tight bend. He might have to off again.
Big rig to get around a cross-country course.
Next percents aren't going to be good there.
No, I don't think there's a section up the top which we actually just had to rework because we brilliantly decided that it'd be a billabong on this sort of dry creek bed, but the guys went up the other day and it was underwater, so short of running people through a lake, we had to make a slight adjustment to the course.
All right.
So, I'm not sure how the alpha flies would go through there.
Yeah, a bit chunky. So, sorry, Matt,
but yeah,
Sunday.
So on the Sunday, two things on the Sunday at this stage. The main one is basically we're going to throw the course open and we're going to have a race for everyone from little athletics kids all the way through to masters, open athletes, and I really want to emphasize this is not for traditional athletics people. This is for everyone. If you have done a park run, if you have, you know, run a half marathon or a 10K, city to surf, anything like that, this is your chance to come in a fun run style and have a run on the world championship course. Obviously, it'll be the day after the main event, so we've got no concerns around, you know, having to preserve the course or anything like that for the world title. So there'll be different distances available that will suit everyone, from kids all the way through to, you know, some of the more serious runners. But that's your chance to come up, watch the world title on the Saturday, hang around, have a good time on Saturday night, probably not too many Sticks Brewery beers, and then back up for a run on the Sunday. So that's a real great opportunity for everyone to really be part of the weekend. And for those that have already run on the weekend and are thinking more about their Sunday long run, more traditional, we're looking at an organised Sunday morning long run. But we're reaching out to not only the Aussie team, but also some of the athletes from around the world to get involved with that Sunday morning long run and a breakfast afterwards. So it may well be that you can have your Sunday morning long run paced by a Josh Cheptegei or a Helena Beery or a Stuart McSwain or a Jess Hull or someone like that. So for all the guys that have wanted to have a run with these guys, I promise they won't go around at 250 pace and do a Josh Johnson on Croaks, but you know, there's a great opportunity there for people to come and meet the best athletes in the world. And that's what I was talking about earlier on when I was talking about the accessibility of our sport. These guys are, you know, going to meet and see and take pictures with and have a run with, which I think, you know, is a really special opportunity that you don't get very often in elite sport.
Yeah, for sure. It's a pretty special weekend you've got planned. Give us some dates again. We're talking May, aren't we?
March, so the 20th of March.
Knew it started with an M.
And Matt, I've already seen on some social media, like people that have seen the video have commented, tagged their friends saying, hey, let's go up for the weekend. What's the best way for people to, I guess, stay connected with information about travel packages, accommodation and stuff like that? There's a specific social media handle?
Yeah, so obviously there's all the social channels that are set up for the world title and all the information will come through there. So it's at WA Bathurst 21. So WA for World Athletics, at WA Bathurst 21. Yep. And, you know, you'll be able to, there's obviously equivalent Facebook and Twitters and all of those. So you'll obviously be able to find the website as well if you just Google Bathurst World Cross Country. And yeah, that those packages be coming out, I'd say, in the next month or so. And so that's another trade-off of getting a bit of an exclusive look early on, is that the packages aren't out just yet, but they will be in the next month. And we can obviously circle back and let all your listeners know once those are up. I was chatting to Brady early on that maybe this is a replacement for your group trip to the New York Marathon. Mm-hmm. And the inside running trip out of Bathurst.
Bathurst, yeah.
I did reply how lucky we were that didn't go ahead, because we would have been in a bit of strife, I think, old New York 2020. But it's so good. It sounds like it's really innovative and, you know, there's something for everyone there. And, yeah, hats off to you guys for thinking outside the square. I think our sport needs people like you guys involved who are going to think about things differently and make it engaging for every runner out there in a way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Moose was saying it last week around, I was listening to your show from last week. I was out on a run tonight, and I think, Moose, you were talking about how is the sport going to reach out and talk to these people that have just discovered our sport in recent times. And, you know, this is obviously a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to do that. And, you know, it's very important to us that everyone feels a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good on you. Good on you.
A few quick ones for you, Matt, before I let you go.
Yep.
Return to sport. Like, are we talking about any small key races coming back soon? I know you're pretty active with the Bankstown meets and things like that. Like, are we going to see 10 people, 15 people track races? What have we got?
Yeah, well, the good news for Croaks is that, as he knows from the crest, there's a Macca's about 4 minutes drive away from the front door of the crest. So and it's on the Hume Highway, so he can hit that and straight back down to Canberra with a tummy full of Big Mac after he's sub 15. So the short answer is yes. The Athletics New South Wales and Athletics Australia are, at the end of the day, businesses involved with putting on athletics meets. So you can rest assured that we are all working as hard as possible to get back as soon as possible. We had to make some very tough decisions in the course of this, as did a lot of businesses. And, we're keen to get back as soon as we possibly can. Athletics New South Wales, who I'll speak for, is just released this week some guidelines on returning to training. That's largely consistent with the government guidelines up here that allow groups of 10. The next big piece is really sorting that out with individual venues and tracks. So to take Bankstown as an example, I'm expecting there to be an agreement in place for us to return to the Crest facility this week. So I'm expecting training to be happening again at the Crest by the end of the week or first thing next week. Now, obviously, that's, at least in New South Wales, that's limited at the moment to groups of 10. So that precludes competition at this stage. But the short answer is that as soon as we're permitted to go to larger groups that are conducive to competition, there are plans in place to get that happening as soon as possible. So internally, we have some dates which are sort of penciled into the calendar, but for obvious reasons, I think there's enough confusing information going around that we don't want to add to that by putting dates in people's diaries now, only to have to change them as the landscape changes. So I think you can rest assured that we've got plans and, we're going to be back as soon as we're allowed to.
Do you reckon before August, Matt?
I don't want to, go into the specific dates. I think if you just look at the, and I think, Croaks, you were saying this last week, mass participation is a whole different story in terms of big fun runs. But there are still big fun runs in the books for September. I know there's a group working with government at the moment, a group of race directors, which, and I should say all the feedback we've had from government, and we're working very closely with Office of Sport and Department of Health, has been very, very positive. The government wants these events to happen. I mean, City to Surf is scheduled for October. Blackmore's Running Festival is scheduled for September, I think. So the government wants these events to happen, and what we're working through at the moment is the protocols around how we may even be able to make mass participation events happen on those dates. So if we're having that conversation, you can probably take a degree of confidence that there will be an ability to hold a track meet for 100 people, I think is probably a fair conclusion.
And the one we were talking about last week, Matt, was the Australian Marathon Champs, obviously with Gold Coast cancelled, but the announcement that they're still going to go ahead. Any info there?
Yeah, so I heard Croaks getting a bit stressed about it last week, so I thought I'd do him a favour and reach out to Mark Abdib, the president of Athletics Australia. So I did that today. Short version, Brady, I don't think we're going to have the Australian Marathon title around the Echuca Industrial Estate for 20 laps.
No 207s then.
So no 207s in the Alpha Fly. You might have to wait a little longer to get the quickest IRP marathon time. But the short answer is there is absolutely an intention within Athletics Australia to hold the marathon championships this year. So they are talking to the remaining major marathons, which are still scheduled in Australia this year. And obviously that's an increasingly short list, but they're talking to those organisations about looking to get them on. And they're also intending at this stage to do everything possible to get the Australian cross-country championships to happen this year as well. So those are scheduled for Adelaide. I think in a similar sort of window to everything else that's planning to come back, but the intention is absolutely to run both of those championships if at all possible. The difficulty with a national title is principally at the moment the state borders being closed in some states. So obviously if we're going to hold an Australian title, it should obviously be open to everyone in Australia. And if there's a number of state border closures that prevent people from coming, that obviously makes things a little bit more difficult. So, you know, that's just sort of a bit of a behind the scenes look into some of the issues that the sport needs to work through. It isn't always as simple as just saying, well, let's get the race on. You know, there's, but what I can tell you is that as we sit here now, there is absolutely an intention to hold this year. And I should say it's the same for Zatopek and the Albi Thomas, which are the Australian 10K mile championships in December.
Yeah. So if they can't get on one of those mass participation like marathons, like I guess that's like a Melbourne or maybe the postponement of Canberra, or I don't know if Adelaide's been rescheduled as well, would they look to do in a standalone event?
Well, I don't have that answer. I think the reality is there's a financial cost associated with that. But, you know, what I will say is that I work very closely with the AA president, Mark Arbib, and the CEO, Jaron Gosha, both of whom are more than happy to think outside the box when it's called for. So those sorts of ideas are, I'm certain, being discussed. And, you know, we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it. But I think that the reality is that it's obviously makes a lot more sense to be able to do it as part of an existing event. And that's plan A as we sit here tonight.
Yeah. Awesome, Matt. Thanks for all the insights, and thanks for your support of the Inside Run podcast. You've been a Patreon supporter for a long time, and yeah, we really appreciate you coming on and kind of giving us some info about all the things the people way higher than us kind of talk about, the decisions they make.
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to come on here and, you know, give you guys a bit of info that isn't in the public domain yet, is because you guys play a really valuable role in connecting. I certainly wouldn't describe it as the higher ups, but some of the more traditional, you know, administration of the traditional side of the sport to, you know, what is now a massive recreational running community around Australia. And we absolutely want everyone that's part of that community to be a part of our community. And, you know, there's no real rocket science to any of this, guys. We're just trying to put on events that, that people want to run in. So, you know, get amongst it. There's no minimum standards or anything with any of the stuff we're doing. It's for everyone.
For sure. Beautiful, fellas. Well, Matt, thanks again for your time. Brad and Moose, we're done for another week. We'll be back next week, and see you, listeners. Do it all again next week. See you, fellas.
See you, guys.
See ya.